Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, tasked with the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. Welcome. In this Wednesday's message, Bishop Dag will focus on a specific parable Jesus Christ taught about prayer. He will also teach you how to come before the Lord correctly in prayer. From today's teaching, you'll learn the importance of humbling yourself before God in prayer and having a good posture as you are entering into His presence. Today's message will prompt you to assess your prayer life and communication with your Heavenly Father. Be blessed by the word of God.
Turn with me, please, to Luke 18. I am going to share with you a brief message on prayer. I have been sharing about the parables of prayer during this service. So all of you who are here for World Cup reasons are welcome to join us this morning. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "O God, are you with me?" 11, verse 11. The Pharisee stood up and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this brother here in the church. I'm glad I'm not like him. I'm glad I don't have his problems. I'm glad my marriage is better than his marriage. I'm glad my life is better than his life. I thank you, Lord. I fast twice in the week, and I know he doesn't. I give tithes of all that I possess. And Lord, you know that I pay them regularly." And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, "O God, O God, O God, be merciful. Be merciful to me, a sinner. A sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Amen. Amen. Well, the word of God is our guide, our guidepost, and it must guide us, lead us, tell us what is right. Hallelujah. And I find that the more we study what the word of God says and go by it, the safer we are and will be. The world as we see it, all right, is spoiled. Do you know that? Turn with me to Romans 8. Romans 8. Are you there? Now notice, verse 18. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." Verse 20. "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Verse 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. But what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Amen. I know it's a little difficult to understand, but I want you to underline these phrases in your Bible. In verse 20, you see three words there. Subject to vanity. Subject to vanity. In verse 21, you see a word there, three words. Bondage of corruption, or the bondage of corruption. All right? Then in verse 22, you see groaneth and travaileth. Groaneth and travaileth in pain. And verse 23, you see, groan within ourselves. We ourselves groan within ourselves. All right? Now, the point that I'm trying to make is that the nice thing that God created is, now, look at verse 23, at verse 20, subject to vanity. Amen. The nice thing that God made is now subject or submitted to or under the influence, the strong influence of vanity. And vanity means useless. So if you look at the world that has been created, you know, sometimes I go to places and I see something that used to be very nice, and it's not nice anymore. Short while after, it's all old. Some of us, when we were younger, the main shops in town were Kingsway. Did you go to Kingsway? And UTC. You get it? But it's subject to vanity. It's subject to vanity. It is under what we call the bondage of corruption. All the nice things that God created are subject to you becoming useless. And also under the bondage of corruption, that is spoiling. So everything from the creation, the time of creation, is in this category, including our bodies. You know, your body. Look at your body. It's already getting spoiled. Can you not see when you look in the mirror that you are some way? Or you've not noticed? Yeah. Your whole body, if we start to check your blood pressure and other variables, you may be surprised that things are changing. Marriage has also been subjected to uselessness. Very few people, most people spend half of their life praying to get married. Then after they are married, they spend the other half praying about the marriage. People who should be happy are not happy. Most people, I rarely meet people who are like, it's like, I'm so happy, this is it. Maybe for a period after, you begin to see that everybody has Naaman's leprosy. Do you understand what I mean by Naaman's leprosy? Bible said Naaman was a captain, he was a bat, he was a leper. There's always a bat. So it's like a nice thing has been subjected to vanity. Mosquitoes which would never bite a human being are now biting us. Flies which never cause any problem are now turning against us. Locusts are turning against us. The weather turns against us. The sea turns against human beings. The weather turns against us. And a nice thing that has been created for us to really be in it and enjoy is spoiled, including our physical body. That's why I said that even the creation, our bodies are even waiting to be saved. Groaning. Saying, oh God, when will this change come? So, God sees us in that way. That's the truth. That's the reality. You know, life. That's why Jesus said, do not lay up treasures on earth. I mean, if somebody showed you a house and the engineer told you, this house is going to collapse. It's subject to useless. It's now useless. It's bound to spoil. Then you start investing everything into that house. You sell everything that you have and you start pouring into that place. Meanwhile, they've told you that it is something that is about to get spoiled and you can't do anything about it. Yet you take all your time, your life, your investment to invest in a thing which is subject to getting spoiled, which is about to totally decay. You are not wise. That's why Jesus didn't marry. Oh yeah. That's why he didn't build any house. That's why he didn't have anything. He just came, preached the word, and went back to the place that he came from because he saw the environment. He said, I can't stay here. A place that is spoiled. Are you listening to me? So our lives are subject to the uselessness. And so God doesn't see this person as a bad person and this person as a good person. You know, and this person as a very evil man and this one as a very evil woman. We are all some way. Whether we think so or not, you don't have to think you are some way. You are some way. You are subject to vanity. How many have had thoughts? Good people, you've had thoughts that you wouldn't want anybody to know your thoughts. Raise up your hand. Raise your hand, please, if you're a Christian. Very good, thank you. Now, all of us are in the church. We are subject to bad things, bad thoughts. And we are all here. And nobody would like to know our thoughts. Rejoiner said that when he went to heaven, anytime he was thinking, everybody could hear. And he was very scared. Because it's like there where you think, right? It is open. So you can't just think about bad things. Whatever you are thinking, everybody is hearing. Can you imagine if when you were thinking, people were hearing it with a loudspeaker? It would be a bad thing. You get it? So God doesn't see this man is very bad. This man is very good. There are things that we do that make us feel that we are very bad. In fact, sometimes it is even better for us to have that feeling that we are not good when we come to God. Sometimes that is why the Bible, Jesus said that the prostitutes and the publicans are entering the kingdom of heaven faster than you. Because they are more conscious of the reality. But sometimes those who are, as it were, being perfect in their lives are not conscious of certain realities. And that is why when this man came, saying, I fast, I pray, I am this, I am that, it was all a mistake. And when you think about it, if I had church members who fasted twice a week, if I had church members who paid their tithes, we have just a fraction of the church paying tithes. As of today, you can preach it. I preach here for many weeks. 40 reasons why people should pay their, why people don't pay tithes. I preach them until some people say, it's too much. You can have whatever. Reverend Adeboye came here once. He preached about tithes. We have the graph like that. It was like this, something like this. Then when Reverend Adeboye preached about tithes, then shoop, the number of people who paid tithes came up. Then the next month, it came right down to where it was and then continued at a few faithful people. If my members were like this man, I would say, look, God has given me a very good, wonderful group of people. So why is it that when the man made his list, it still did not impress God? Because whether you do those things or not really, you are still of a certain category. It's like a pig who doesn't eat so much toilet and a pig which eats a lot of, grass and other things around. And then there's one pig that likes going to the... So you are both pigs. Which of the pigs would you like to keep in your house? They are both pigs. Oh, is it not a pig? A pig is a pig. Whatever he eats is a pig. And when the meat turns into meat or domedo or whatever, it's still meat. Whatever it eats. So brothers and sisters, being whatever does not impress God. That does not mean that you shouldn't try to do your best. You must do your best for the Lord. Because the Bible says we must not take the grace of God in vain. Now, as we come before the Lord, I tell you, we need, even in our posture, we need to be people who would kneel down. We need to be people who would, you know, We need to be people who would cry before the Lord. And I want everybody here to get used to the point, especially those of you who've been coming for second service, get used to the art of coming before the Lord and humbling yourself before the Lord. Because at the end of it, Jesus said, whosoever humbles himself shall be exalted. So what this man did was that he humbled himself before God in prayer. And how did he humble himself? By his attitude. Bible says he stood far off. Then the Bible says he would not so much as raise his head. And then his words were, have mercy on me, a sinner. That is humbling yourself. That's what it means to humble yourself. He stood far off. He would not so much as raise his head. And he didn't go, Lord, I've done this, I've been in the church for a long time, I've been paying my tithes, I've been giving offering, I'm faithful, I don't criticize, I'm not like this, I'm not like that. Even look at this sister, she went here, she did this, I know her, I was there when she came from the abortion clinic, and this and that, but I am here, I've been faithful, I haven't done this. One day I was talking to somebody and she was saying, you know, I haven't done this, I haven't done that. And why is this happening to me? That's what she said to me. I haven't done this, I haven't done that, I haven't done that. Why is this happening to me? Think about it. You haven't had any abortion before. Somebody has had so many abortions. Yet when a person is trying to have a child, bam, the child just comes. Yeah. Bam, in a flash. The child arrives. Boom. Here we are. You haven't done any of those things. Child is not coming. Yeah. You see, and you realize that it is often our assessment of what is right and wrong. And we think that, well, because I have not done this, and because I have not done that, and because I did this, I'm okay. This is the deception of this man. This is what I'm trying to talk about. All of us, I tell you, we need this thing. We need to come to the place where we now, when we are praying, we are kneeling. We are kneeling. I'm telling you, kneeling is a sign of humility, and I'm nothing. We need it. When you don't feel the need to kneel, it's because you are not seeing yourself in the right way. And somebody once told me, say, you charismatic, you'll be walking around, you'll be praying, have your hand in your pocket, oh God, come. You know, it's true. It shows something about us, how we feel about ourselves. So we are men of faith, we are righteousness of God, moving in the Lord, in the Spirit, anointed, powerful. Careful now. We need to get to the place where we are humbling ourselves like this man. He stood afar off and he cried and he said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And say, Lord, the Bible says he will be exalted. He will be exalted. I want to show you one brother who prayed in that way. Let's turn to Luke 15 and then we'll end so you can rush back for the cup. Verse 11. Luke 15. A certain man had two sons. Famous story. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of good that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him to feed to his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. You know, when everything is working well, people come to you. When things are not working, no one gives to you. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet away off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now listen to the son. And the son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Huh? But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe. I see God making a party for you. How many want a party for you? I see it happening. The father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Come on, let's have a party. Because this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Huh? Now notice, his elder son, you see, this is the good guy. His elder son was in the field, and he came and he drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Tell somebody, God is not against music and dancing. Tell the person, I like music and I like dancing. But it must be the right music and the right kind of dancing. Hallelujah. All right. He heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and said, What is this? What's going on? What in the world is going on? And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry. And he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he said to his father, lo, these many years. You see, the same kind of thing. Huh? I'm not like other people. Like this boy. You know this boy. Compare me and him. Brothers and sisters, hear well. It says, these many years do I serve thee. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments. Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, this thy son, the other guy in the church. Well, he knows all his sins because he's been hearing the stories. Third service people have come. They want to go up. Let us go, but don't mind them. It's 30. This thy son, which has devoured thy living with harlots. And he's been hearing the stories and said, I don't sleep with harlots. I'm not that kind. I don't sleep around. I'm a decent kind. I'll be a virgin. I'll get married. I'll be faithful. I'm not like other men, especially this boy. Thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said, send thou whatever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was me that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. You know what his father told him? He said, son, I'm not doing anything wrong. It's good for me to make a party for him. If you want God to make a party for you, brother, start being humble. We can be with the Lord, he will never celebrate us. He will never make a fuss over us and glorify us and exalt us, because we never come before him in humility. But we come conscious of the fact that we are not like others. I'm not like others who don't go to church on Sunday. Even if it's World Cup, I'll come for second service, and then after that I will work my World Cup. I'm good. You are not good, Jonathan. You are not good. You are not good. And I, Bishop Pope, whatever, I'm also not good. That's a fact. So you better clear your mind. Just let your mind be washed with water, so that you don't have that picture. And you don't have to fall into the deepest of sin before you come to that realization that I'm still not good. You see, that is one thing. One pastor told me, he said to me, look, I was there. He told me, I've not done anything except morality, this, that, so many things. He said, I'm not lying. I've never had such a problem. He said to me, I've overseen the judgment of several pastors. And me, pastor, I don't have such problems. And I've never had such a problem. But one day something happened and he was taken to prison. He was supposed to send an email. They used a technical thing and they took him to prison. It was in the prison that he developed cancer in the prison. So as he was becoming nothing in the world and he was just moving out, God brought him to his knees and humbled him. Recently when I met him and I was talking with him, you will never see a more humble American than this man. Because he has now been to prison. Everybody who sees him as a prisoner. I met him in a developing country. He was now a missionary to very poor people. And realized that the attitude had changed. And he spoke about himself. And he spoke about pride. He said, one of the things you notice about pride is when you talk about other people, you know, others with problems, there's a way you talk. And there's a way you laugh at people, as a minister, about other pastors or about other people who have problems. Do you want to go to prison before you see that? Or you as you come, you are now conscious of the fact that, yeah, I'm a real prodigal, you know, that has come back. So every time you are praying, you always, I'm not worthy. No, believe it now and know now. That's why I started by sharing with you that the whole earth, all of us, we are subject to uselessness. And we must be humble in prayer. And I'm glad I found this scripture because I've always been looking for a way to humble myself so that God will exalt me. I always want a way that God can lift me up and how to be humble. And I've come to see there's a great way in prayer. I can humble myself in prayer. Every day I can go to God and I can kneel down and I can be humble. And God sees it as humility. As if I see myself as I really am, I'm being humble. It's a great key. Because when you humble yourself, God will now select you and start to lift you. But if you exalt yourself, he will bring you down and you'll be very sad. Hallelujah. It's time. The match is going to start any moment from now. So please, stand on your feet and then let's go home. All right. Father, we thank you for a wonderful day. Lift your hand and just ask the Lord to teach you more and more humility so that you may walk in his ways and walk in his will. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We praise you. We honor you. We pray that you will teach us humility this year, that we may walk in humility, grow in you, Lord, and be what you want us to be, Lord, in Jesus' name. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be born again. Please pray for me. Pray with me. If you are here like that, lift up your right hand and I'm praying with you as we close. Lift your right hand. Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. Lift it up high. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. If you've lifted your hand, you want to humble yourself before God and say, Jesus, come into my life. If you are here like that, I want you to come to me in front here where I'm standing here. Just come. Come to me right in front here. Come, my brother. Come, my sister. Come, my brother. Come, my sister. Come, my brother. Come, my sister. God bless you. God bless you. Come to me. All right. Say this prayer. No, face me. Face me. Yeah. Say this prayer with me. Join her quickly. Thank you. Say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I realize I'm a sinner. Please wash me in the blood of Jesus. From today, I will serve you. I will follow you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.